Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are approaching the last few days of our week going through these incredibly rich, demanding, convicting, powerful passages from the ministry of Jesus. And as we've talked about through this week and many times on the show, we want to know what Jesus said. We want to know what he taught. We want to know what he was like. We want to be near to him in the Eucharist and also in his word, because he walked, he talked, he set up his ministry. He was real. And it's like, yeah, we know, you're like, okay, obviously I know he's real. I'm listening to this podcast, but he was a real man with real human flesh. And he walked through these towns preaching the gospel and saying, hey, this is what it takes to follow me. And particularly during Lent, particularly during this season where we're like, Lord, help me to submit to you. And ultimately, friends, as we grow in holiness, and I pray as the Holy Spirit continues to transform my heart and transform yours, this is the place where we come to this desire, Lord, search me and know me. Show me the ways, not in a condemning way, but show me the ways I'm not following you. Show me the ways I'm not desiring to be your disciple. Show me, Lord, and desiring this submission to him, that actually the holier we become, because the more we see him for who he is, the more we desire to submit to him. It's either we desire to flee from him because we're confronted by the reality of who he is, or we desire to submit to him to say, he's the king. He's the king. He's beautiful. He's majestic. He's glorious. He's the only Son of God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And like the experience that every single person will happen when Jesus comes again in glory is, even if they want to or not, they will bend the knee because they will recognize, this is someone who I submit to. And so I pray as we're going through these words and encountering, okay, I prefer other relationships over Christ. I have these disordered attachments and I'm being confronted to say, I don't have the strength to do it, Lord, but I want to submit that to you. I want you to reorder my heart. I want you to reorganize my life. I think I've talked about it before on the show. I read this amazing book. It was a testimony by this woman, Rosaria Butterfield, and she has this crazy testimony. She was a gender studies professor at this college on the East Coast, and she was also living an active homosexual lifestyle. She was in a relationship with a woman, and she like hated Christianity, all this kind of stuff. And she ended up having this crazy conversion because her Lutheran pastor neighbor, this older couple and his wife, just began to invite her over for dinner. She just began to encounter love. But the thing that was so convicting to me is she said, when I had my conversion, it wasn't like this gentle, like, oh, God, love me now. She's like, encountering the truth shook up my entire life. It was like this chaotic shaking up because the things that I was attached to were so fleshy and so sinful that God's grace coming in and God's right order put my disordered life into what felt like chaos. Because it was like perfect order and love confronting disorder and unhealthy love. And that, when we're unhealthy, feels like chaos. And I just thought it's so convicting to say, like, the Lord, when he comes, he shakes up our lives. And so confronting our disordered attachments. And so we're going to pray. And today, friends, you know, we moved from our external disordered attachments to our internal disordered attachments of ourselves and wanting, holding on to our life and wanting our life to look a particular way and preferring our own life and loving our own life. But we talked about how the martyr, the one who is totally taken up in God, prefers God to himself, right? And actually is so obsessed and so in love with something outside of himself that what happens in his own life becomes actually very small to him. You know, he becomes so detached from this. And so today we want to go into, over the next few days, this idea that Jesus brings about carrying your own cross and counting the cost of really what is this cost of following Jesus Christ, and how do we carry the cross? Let's go ahead and pray. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for just giving us another day. Thank you for giving us another day to follow you. I thank you for giving us another day to encounter you, to love you, and to be loved by you, to know you, and to be known by you. And I pray, Jesus, that you convict our hearts with the power of your love, that today we would live for today. That if we're with our kids right now, we'd be with our kids right now. And the next thing that we're doing, we'd be present there. That if we're in Mass, we'd be in Mass. That we'd be in prayer. That, Lord, you would just give us the grace to just be present to the life that you're giving us today. To not try to go through the next thing. To not try to rush to the next thing. But to be where you are. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was saying that prayer, it brought to mind this funny video that I saw that I sent to one of my friends, and it was this woman, she was like, I constantly have to go through life reminding myself that things are not emergencies. You know, she's like, I'll be doing my laundry, and I'll be so rapidly, like, gathering up the clothes, like, with such an intensity, I just have to stop and be like, this is not an emergency, you know, or like walking down the street with so much vigor and just always being in a rush. And a way to like stop yourself is being like, this is not an emergency. And we're just so conditioned to rush through everything. And the Lord just inviting us to just be present to him today, to be present to his word. And like, we don't have to rush through everything. We don't, it's not an emergency. You know, you can listen to this. You don't have to listen to this episode on double speed. In fact, don't try, because then you won't be able to catch any of the words, because the talking already basically is on double speed. You know, just to like settle into what God is saying. So let's read God's word and then we'll go from there. Now, great multitudes accompanied him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, we're going to get into kind of that second half tomorrow about counting the cost. And today what I want to focus on, just in this natural flow of how Jesus is setting up discipleship. Remember, what does he say first? He says, hey, this is for everyone. This is the standard of discipleship for everyone. First, he speaks to the multitudes too. He says, I'm here to confront disordered attachments. I am supposed to be your primary attachment. I want you to give everything to me. I want to be your obsession, not because he's controlling, but because he loves us and he knows what's best. And so he's saying, hey, one, this standard of discipleship is for everybody. Two, real discipleship should confront your disordered desires. And part of that desire is an inordinate love of self. And so he says, hey, you have to be willing to give up your own life. And then he says the next step, what does this look like? You have to be willing to carry your cross. And so he introduces the necessity of suffering with him. And this is one, the modern church, look at modern Christianity. It's so divorced from the suffering Christ. The risen Christ. We love the risen Christ. Oh, how does this look? Oh, this makes my life so much better. And it's a form of the prosperity gospel, flourishing prosperity. Yes, this great adventure with God. And Jesus, remember, is introducing these primary things that he says, without this, you can't be my disciple. And he says, unless you are willing to carry your own cross, you cannot be my disciple. So he introduces a necessity for Christian discipleship as a participation in Christ's sacrifice. This anticipates his passion, right? Because it says, where I go, you go, but I don't ask you to go anywhere that I haven't already gone. It anticipates his passion. Carrying the cross means accepting suffering united to Christ, dying to sin and selfishness, living sacrificial love daily and a participation in redemptive suffering. This cross, it's not sought for its own sake, but it's embraced when fidelity to Christ requires it. You cannot escape the suffering of Christ in your discipleship. Friends, again, the more that we grow in holiness, and you see this with the saints. I was just thinking of a story, St. Catherine of Siena. It's a crazy story where she ended up volunteering to take care of this woman in the town that was this older woman who just had spent her life kind of being mean and rude to everybody, just kind of hating on everybody. And so no one at the end of her life was taking care of her. And she had this horrible disease at the end of her life where she had all these wounds with terrible pus coming out of it. And so she kind of had spent her life being repulsive in personality to others. But then at the end of her life, she was kind of physically repulsive, and St. Catherine of Siena felt convicted to go take care of her. And as she's taking care of her, she's like gagging. She's trying not to gag in front of this woman and make her feel horrible, but she's like, oh my gosh, it smells so bad. And part of one of the things that Catherine would do was bathe her. And so she would have this wet rag that then she would wipe off the pus and then put that back into the water. And so she had this bowl of water that was essentially just filled with this pus. And one day she felt the Holy Spirit telling her, this is crazy, the Holy Spirit telling her, drink this water. And she's like, what? You know, and when I even think about the story, I'm like, this is repulsive. I can't even think about it. But she knew it was the Lord asking her. And she was so repulsed by this woman and so repulsed by her sores and her wounds. And she touched the water to her lips, and she describes, she says, as soon as I touched that water with the pus to my lips, the taste became sweet to me. And this woman who I had repulsed and was disgusted by, I just was filled with this effusive love for her, and she became sweet to me. And when I was around her, the aroma of the pus and the wounds became sweet. And if you're like anything like me, you're like, I would hear that and be like, that's probably an intrusive thought. That's not the Holy Spirit, right? That's disgusting. I can't do that. But the point of that story, the underlying thing is as we mature in Christ and as we grow closer to him, that the things in the world, that the worldly mind turns away from the disfigured image of the crucified Christ. That yes, we don't stay in the valley. We don't stay in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, we live with a God of redemption. But there's something that you see in the saints, that as their minds were transformed, as they came closer and closer to Jesus, they were drawn into, magnetized by the crucified, wounded Christ. And we know that even our crucifixes, even the horrible thing that was, you know, was the portrayal and Mel Gibson, all this kind of stuff, that none of that really comes close to how disfigured and bloody and wounded Jesus was on the cross. And there's this thing that Jesus is saying, unless you're willing, that part of discipleship is, yes, redemption, yes, glory. We will be raised to new heights with him. But he's saying, remember, become obedient to death. And there's something essential about discipleship, is saying, am I just worried about service? Am I just worried about the good stuff? Or am I drawn in? Am I magnetized by the wounded Christ? Am I being drawn into the crucified Christ and living life in his wounds? That what's disfigured, what's off-putting becomes sweet to me. What's repulsive is changed into sweetness. That is a key part of discipleship. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up this week on Luke 14. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.